Never miss a minute.
Download the Todd and Tyler podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
And stream the show 24/7 at TNTRadioEmpire.com.
It's my dong again.
You ever say that? You're sleeping? It's my dong again? Yeah. Like you just found it again in your sleep?
All hey, right, look at it. That.
It's my dong again. All right. Mr. Evans, what's up? Nobody had Bunny Whaler from the Whalers.
Nobody had Bunny Whaler.
No, passed away. And nobody had, we didn't bring it up off on the air, Vernon Jordan, famous politician back in the day.
Nobody had him, you're right.
Civil rights guy.
Civil rights guy, right.
Was she part of somebody's cabinet?
Carter, I believe.
I saw him listed.
Or
yeah,
Clinton too. Yeah.
I don't know if he was cabinet, but they said advisor to Clinton.
Yeah. I've heard the name.
Was on this date in 2008.
You wouldn't like what the Creighton coach said. We'll put it that way.
Van Halen postponed a week's worth of shows so that Eddie could undergo a battery of comprehensive medical tests to determine a defined diagnosis and recommended medical procedures.
I'm watching Rock Block on VH1 Classic or something yesterday when I'm working out, and the Panama video came out, and I just forgot. I shouldn't forget, because when rock and roll was fun, live. I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about just rock and roll. Great guitars, great drums, live, jumping around.
Yeah, fun.
Panama, fun, exactly. Real musicians playing real music. No backing tracks, you know.
And as on this date in 1978, Van Halen began their first world tour. Yeah. An opening act for a lineup that also had, what are these other bands? See if I can read this. You remember a band called Black Sabbath?
Yeah.
Journey.
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Opened up for those two.
Was it
a tour?
Yeah, it was a world tour, yeah.
Was that when they just had the one album out?
1978, the first one.
Okay. No, the first album was 77.
Well, the first world tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Van Halen 2 might have been out by then.
It was. Van Halen 2 came out in 78, Van Halen 1 came out in 77.
That had to have been separate opening slots for separate tours, Journey and Black Sabbath. I can't see Sabbath and Journey co-headlining.
That's an odd combination. Yeah.
Back in the day, you could.
Opening act in a lineup that also featured Black Sabbath and Journey.
Wow. It was all rock and roll. If you see a lot of those 70s and 60s, and even early 80s bands together, nowadays they wouldn't be together, but they were all under one banner, rock and roll. Yeah,
that's an odd pairing.
Yeah. I mean, if they're together now,
I liked it better.
Yeah. It would be a festival.
Right.
This was just a concert.
Right.
That had to be tough to go up after Van Halen.
Yeah,
how long were they an opening act?
Not long.
A tour.
That tour?
It had to be it, yeah.
Journey was fairly well established.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Black Sabbath was fairly well established.
Yes.
Black Sabbath was probably the oldest band of those three at that time.
Yeah. Yep. 2021's most overweight and obese cities in the U.S. has been released.
Yeah.
And the fattest cities in America?
New Orleans.
Down south.
Not in the top 20. It's at 19.
Okay. Five of them in Wisconsin?
None of the top 20 are in Wisconsin.
All the Packer fans are really fat, so you got your
right. None of the top 20 are in Wisconsin.
No, but Wisconsin. They must be spread out in Wisconsin for weight distribution.
Wisconsin's just a drunk-ass state, you know.
Are most of them in the south?
It is. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. The fattest, McAllen, Texas. Isn't that right on the border?
Yeah. That's where your dad lives, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nick? McAllen, Brownsville?
Well, he's just outside of there right now.
He probably feels trim there. I mean, he's not a fat guy anyway.
Maybe that's why he's sticking around.
Yeah. He feels skinny down there. And he's not a fat guy at all, but he's a regular guy, so he probably feels really puny down there.
Look, I wear a large, fat asses.
Memphis at number 2 in the fattest cities in America, where I grew up. And then it's Baton Rouge and Little Rock. Not far from where I grew up, and then Shreveport and Birmingham and Jackson, Mississippi, Mobile, Alabama, let's see, Louisiana, Tennessee. Tulsa is at 12, and then we go down to number 18, Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, Wichita, come on.
Fatten up a little bit. See you a little higher.
18's fat.
They are the 18th fattest city in the United States.
But I'd like to see them in the top 10.
If you're going to be that close, you might as well go for it.
Yeah, that's, I didn't know Wichita. I mean, we've been to Wichita. It doesn't seem fat to me. Of course, I'm just usually high and drunk down there. Yeah.
Bingo. Not really taking note of all the details.
I mean, the southern cities a lot, usually involve a lot of really, really good fried food and also lack of gyms. And education sometimes has an effect on fat cities, too. Yeah.
Or gyms that'll serve some Nashville hot chicken after a workout.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds great.
Well, you watch those, you see those cooking shows or something, right, where they're making, like, you know, Cajun, right, shrimp or something. We're going to start out by putting 6 sticks, right, of butter in the pan.
Right.
What is a Nashville hot chicken? I've never had it. I'm sure I'd like it. Is it mostly cayenne pepper? What makes it hot?
Doesn't one of the fast food places serve that?
I think so.
All right.
Okay, all right. Now, do you prefer Fatty or Miss Boombaletti?
All right.
Yeah, Popeyes may have some Nashville hot chicken. There might be some fast food chains that do it.
Yeah, I don't know what makes it the Nashville style.
Wichita, respond. Do you think your city's fat? First of all, I always have to come up with generalizations when it comes to cities and decades. It's always bugged me. Like, if you weren't around the 80s, you watch a show about the 80s, you think everybody was rich in the 80s. You know what I mean? You think everybody had money to blow, you know? No, that's not true.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Same thing with that cities. I mean, if you're in shape and you're if you're not fat and you live in a city that's fat, you're not fat, so what's it matter?
What is the methodology they use to determine what city is fat?
Scale.
Seriously?
One big scale.
they just go around.
They weigh the city.
And weigh 100
Wallet
people?
Hub compared 100 of the most populated U.S. metro areas across three key dimensions, obesity and overweight, health consequences, and food and fitness. They evaluated those dimensions using 19 relevant metrics, which are listed below with their corresponding weights. Each metric was graded on a 100-point scale with a score of 100 representing the fattest. The data for metrics marked with an asterisk were available only at the state level. We then determined each city's weighted average across all metrics to calculate its overall score and use the resulting score. Tune back! Yeah. Come back!
Yeah. Lay off me, I'm starving!
Now, do you really want me to go farther into the methodology?
No. I just wanted to know.
I think you should have just said what I said. Just
how intricate it was, and obviously it's intricate.
They put a big scale underneath the city and they weigh it. That makes more sense.
Yeah. No, because some buildings are heavier than others.
That's a good point.
But they're taller.
They have the whole. As a group of 30 or 40 go to the weigh station for the trucks, stand on it, and they add it all up. Okay. I think actually they add up everybody. Yeah. Jim's not here. Well, that's going to add another 300 pounds.
Right. Yeah. He can't fit through the door.
All right, Todd, the recipe I'm looking at here for your Nashville hot chicken is actually marinated in, like, Tabasco. Oh. But then the sauce is butter, lard, cayenne, little brown sugar, paprika, garlic, salt, pepper.
Lay off me, I'm starving!
Sounds excellent.
Yeah, so the heat comes from the cayenne.
Yeah, the cayenne, but like I say, also being marinated in some Tabasco, too. That's going to infuse
There's some
a little
heat there.
Sure.
Well, didn't KFC or Popeyes have one?
I think they both have at different times,
But they've offered that, yeah.
It's a limited menu item, you know.
Every time we do stories about bad cities, we all get really hungry. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a food critic in the L.A. Times that I'll catch every once in a while on my news feed. And he did a review of the best fast food fish sandwiches.
Oh, that's a great question. What is it?
Apparently Popeyes has a good one. I believe it's flounder.
Right. Oh, yeah, they've been advertising that.
Yeah, but he didn't
hated just about everything else.
Wasn't there a Saturday Live joke about that? That they realized it was just old chicken, expired chicken?
Yeah.
They said Popeyes now has a fish sandwich, and it's just expired chicken or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm joking. I'm sure it's great.
Most of them like the filet of fish because they have no taste.
You know, when I,
when
I was younger, I ate McDonald's filet of fish all the time, but it was always with tartar sauce and ketchup and everything. And they were amazing. Obviously not good for you.
The Burger King one he didn't care for.
I never had the Burger King
one. But he said the Popeyes one actually tastes like fish. The rest of them just taste like breading.
Yeah.
See, if I was going to do the Nashville hot chicken, I would want to be in Nashville. Because, you know, you've seen like the Andrew Zimmern shows and stuff.
Right.
Like those folks in Nashville, like if you order the hot chicken, it's going to blow your head off.
Right.
I mean, they're not messing around.
I think there's a soul food restaurant in town that's supposed to serve some good Nashville hot chicken. Sure, that's what you'd want to try.
That's what I understand.
Yeah, I would want something a little more authentic.
Yeah, this place is definitely authentic.
Yes, it is.
I've never been because I don't think they do the Grubhub. Because it's the kind of place
from Nashville?
No.
Yeah, that's no, a long. That chicken's going to be cold we'll be by the time it gets here.
We'll be there in 2 weeks.
It's a soul food restaurant. And if they do the Grubhub, I may be a little out of range. But I know there's like cars around the block to get into this place.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, in this article I'm looking at here, it talks about the Nashville hot chicken sauce. Two key ingredients, lard and cayenne pepper, mixed together and heated until it forms a thick sauce.
Man.
Sounds excellent.
Three parts pepper to one part lard.
We're coming for you, Wichita. Omaha's going to fatten up and pass your ass.
I'm surprised Omaha's not on that list. Hasn't it been in the past?
I just told you what the top 20 was.
Yeah, it probably goes back down.
Omaha is listed at number 75.
Oh, man.
Others receiving votes.
Is on that list.
We're not
I'm
even
surprised
trying.
By that.
Right.
There's lots of fat people here.
But we're only number 75. Des Moines is at number 40.
Must be fatter in Iowa then.
Oddly enough, and I do find this odd, a little coincidental, Kansas City and St. Louis, 44 and 45.
Neck and neck.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. They're both famous for barbecue and food and everything down there, you know.
A little cross-state rivalry going. Right.
And don't forget, we just found out yesterday, Des Moines is the home of the Fruit Loop Pizza.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, they're doing their part.
How fat is, like, the Chicagos and the L.A.'s of the world? L.A.'s obviously more not as fat because it's a year-round sunny city.
Chicago ranks 84.
Okay, 84. All right.
Yeah, I think the West, because, you know, the population in general is more inclined to recreation.
Yeah. Well, they have the weather for it.
It's the weather, right?
Mountain towns like Denver,
I'm sure Vermont, Salt Lake City. People in Vermont are thin, I'm sure.
What's number 100? The thinnest out of the list.
Is Lincoln fat?
They weren't listed. Honolulu.
Oh, yeah.
At number 100.
Yeah.
Well, now, Wichita ranks number 4 in the highest percentage of obese adults.
All right.
Wichita. Almost made the podium.
Good job.
Top 5.
Wichita, you rock and you're fat.
Congratulations.
I don't care. Just keep listening.
We're not fat enough, but we're obese enough, damn it.
I had a buddy of mine. I'm texting my buddies back east when they're getting the vaccine. You know, they all live, one lives in Jersey, the rest of them live in Pennsylvania. So I'm trying to get details about how they got their one guy actually got his vaccine, but he's got an underlying condition. And he mentioned in the group, there's like 8 guys on this. He goes, I guarantee you everybody here is obese, so you'll probably all get it soon. And then one guy checks in, nope, surprise, I'm 10 pounds below obese. and he goes, I'm not throwing him under the bus. And then he goes, I know you're surprised, but nope. I'm 10 pounds below obese, so I'm not on that level yet.
I'm just overweight.
And he's not even a big guy. If you saw him, you'd think he's just a regular dude. I mean, obese is a weird scale anymore. Sometimes you can be obese and be, you're 20 pounds over what you should be, and that's obese. And that's a shame because I think our perception isn't that, but that's what it legally is, right?
That's what
and isn't that the category right below obese is just, there's like just overweight, then obese, and then morbidly obese.
But then there's also, once again, there's remember the famous story about Schwarzenegger when he was ripped was obese.
Oh yeah,
and that was muscle.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's a small.
Oh no,
small,
I know that. Oh yeah,
small percentage of the population.
No, of course it is.
But it points out a flaw in the.
Well, there's many flaws in it. I mean, you can start off with the guy that put it together.
Right.
He put this scale together originally using people from males from Iceland. He was just trying to come up with something else, and it's turned into this BMI thing.
One factor they don't work in, because it's kind of difficult to determine, is a percentage of body fat.
Here's what it was. One of the high risk in Pennsylvania is obesity. Obviously, different states have different things about these vaccines.
Pre-existing condition.
I almost guarantee you, based on the guidelines, the majority of us are medically considered obese. Check the box and get an appointment. So my other buddy checks in. Believe it or not, I don't quite qualify for being obese. I know it's hard to believe, but I'm 10 pounds under obesity. And then he goes, I should eat more cheesesteaks. And then it's funny.
Yeah, it goes on and that. On. And at 6 feet, I should weigh 180 pounds. Yeah. So,
and that's the top isn't it? That's the top range, isn't it?
And
the bottom range is 140.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But that's underweight. That would be considered underweight.
I think 140 is the low end of the good weight.
Subject matter, I'm currently in Wichita. I recently lost weight. Sorry to let you down, guys. Okay?
Yeah, he's not helping.
Not helping, man.
Do your part,
there goes
man.
The ranking.
Not helping.
But at 20-something, I'm considered overweight. Not obese, just overweight.
Right.
We looked at this at home the other night. I came down on, like, pre-obese.
All right.
Like, on the way to obesity.
You'll get there.
It's been a long journey. Right.
On the way to obesity. Right.
Just follow our lead.
About everybody on their way to obesity?
Well, after I get some of this Nashville hot chicken, smothered
in
lard.
The cancer diet? You got to be in the normal range.
I am right in the smack dab in the middle of the normal range.
Yeah. And that's without an ass.
And skinny legs, too. Austin checking in. My boys are 12 and 9, and they are fish sandwich aficionados. I love that. They haven't tried Popeyes yet, but they say Arby's right now is their favorite. And that's when you're in the fish sandwich aficionado.
Exactly.
12 to 9. Yeah. That's
yes. Right. Yes.
I would say 9 to about 15. You can still do it. You know.
I'm curious what kind of fish they use. Most of them are haddock, pollock.
Yeah.
But like I said,
I don't think a 12-year-old cares.
The Popeyes one is flounder.
It's fish.
There's a Culver's very near my house.
Oh, they probably have a great fish.
This time of year, about Friday at about 4, the line starts, and it wraps out and around and down the road.
The phony Catholic.
Till about 7.
They're all going to heaven because of that.
It's ridiculous.
You avoid meat on Friday.
That makes God very happy.
Damn right it does. So lame.
Actually, God probably doesn't care.
No. Well, he never did. Yeah. But they think he did. They do.
And the urban legend of the Catholics being involved with the fish industry is not true. That's not why they invoke the fish.
Right. No. Some people say.
Because I said you can't eat meat, but, you know, fish is meat.
Well, that's the trouble.
It's different.
No.
Some say
red meat is Christ, right? You're actually eating Christ, correct?
No, that's a wafer. Christ comes in wafers.
Suck it, Jesus.
No.
You suck on it. You suck on the wafer. Whatever, so, it's all mythology and
here's
stupid
the thing.
Stuff.
Some say Jesus fasted for 40 days and died on a Friday. So Catholics honor both occasions by making a small sacrifice, avoiding animal flesh one day out of the week. Some people say a pope with connections to Europe's fishing business banned the red meat on Fridays, and that's not true. The reason evolved with the fast. In the beginning, some worshippers only ate bread, but by the Middle Ages, they were avoiding meat, eggs, and dairy. By the 13th century, the meat-fish divide was happening. And then St. Thomas Aquinas gave a lovely answer explaining why. Sex, simplicity, and farts. Fasting was instituted by the church in order to bridle the concupiscences of the flesh.
The what?
You said pisses.
Concupiscences.
That's a good word.
I love Jesus.
Of the flesh.
No one helps.
With regard, which regard pleasures of touch. In connection with food and sex, wherefore the church forbade those who fast to partake of those foods, which both afford most pleasure to the palate, and besides are a very great incentive to lust. Such are the flesh of animals that take their rest on earth, and those that breathe the air and their products. That's the key.
Yeah.
Those that breathe the air.
They're a waterborne thing. They don't breathe the air.
That's the key. Yeah.
But don't they get the oxygen out of the water through their gills?
Yeah, breathing the air.
They're all going to hell now.
Aquinas thought Catholics should abstain from eating landlocked animals because they were too tasty. Lent is a time for simplicity. In the 1200s...
Well, why just Friday?
In the 1200s, the 13th century, meat was a luxury. Eating something as decadent as beef was no way to celebrate a holiday centered on modesty. But he also believed that meat made you horny.
Oh, for
he
like
said,
boys?
For personal
boys
reasons.
Said, since such like animals or more like man in body, they afford greater pleasure as food and greater nourishment to the human body so that from their consumption there results a greater surplus available for seminal matter, which when abundant becomes a great incentive to lust. Hence, the church has bidden those who fast to abstain, especially from those foods. They thought that these foods increase the seminal matter that just had to explode.
You have to know when to come. So Chris does a great job. Giannis
Sorry,
comes
Doris,
from
shut
behind
up.
And gets a piece of it.
Said
like
seminal.
It's not just when you come.
He also said those who fast are forbidden the use of flesh meat rather than of wine or vegetables, which are flatulent foods. He said flatulent foods gave your vital spirit a quick pick-me-up. Meat, on the other hand, boosts the body's lustfulness.
Yeah. So it's all about the farting and whether
sex.
Your scrote is full or not.
All that stuff.
Well, either way, you're going to hell or heaven,
full
right?
Scrote.
That's all I know. You're going to hell or heaven, right? Okay.
You need something.
Right. What was that, the long, fancy word? I got to look that up.
Concupiscences. Pissinses or something.
Yeah, you're going to have to spell that for me during the break.
P-I-S-S-S-S-S.
No, it starts with con.
Oh.
C-O-M.
All right. Oh, you said C-O-M?
You have to know when to come. So Chris does a great job. Giannis comes from behind.
Of course.
And gets a piece.
Turn her mic off.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.